Afternoon. How's everybody doing? Thought it was a good meeting, a good turnout. If you haven't, I don't think you've gotten the attendance numbers. It was actually higher than we anticipated, or that Rich predicted. 14,759. So that, I think that's one. It's the largest we've had in a number of years. And then we had over 10,000 watching online. I thought the ovation for Ted was something that was, I think, really meant a lot to Ted and speaks about how he's viewed by our fans. And obviously the other thing that stood out was, I guess if we draft more Badgers, we'll get better attendance at the shareholder meeting and more rounds of applause. So I'll open up. Any questions anybody has? Get up from your smartphones. Jeez, you're like my kids.
Mark, you mentioned there about the variable pricing that you guys are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the green and gold packages as a challenge, but what do you have to study in order to get that?
Well, you know, it's I think I'm not sure on the exact numbers, but I think it's 10, maybe more than that, teams are doing it now. Doing it this year, so we'll kind of learn from their experiences. A number of them are doing it for both, or primarily for individual game tickets that they're selling rather than the season package. For us, obviously, we're all season ticket. But, I see what kind of the experience is. You know, I think the benefit would be lowering the face value of preseason games. You know, I kind of alluded, you know, and you've seen it, you know, over, you know, just the evolution of the game and the preseason, you know, the preseason games are just a lot different than they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Starters play fewer minutes. I think fans, the feedback that I've gotten from fans is, with the face value as high as it is for preseason, it's hard for them to resell them or to sell them. And so I think if we lowered the price for preseason, it would help fans in that regard. And then we'll see. You know, some teams, you know, the Lions have a certain package. The Bills have one. So you probably have preseason and then either two or three different tiers for pricing of your regular season games. You know, basically, I think most teams are looking at it. You're going to end up, the total season ticket cost will be about the same, but it's distributed differently. And I think so far what we've heard across the league is that, you know, that the fans do appreciate the reduction in the preseason just to make it easier to move tickets. And the other thing, through Ticketmaster, you cannot sell for less than face value. So, you know, the preseason games that are, you know, at the full price now, you know, people end up, you know, having to, you know, give them away or, you know, or eat them. So that's something we'll study.
If the overall amount is going to be the same, then what's the benefit to, other than the preseason part, what's the benefit to changing the amounts during the regular season?
Well, it's, as I said, the preseason is the big aspect. I mean, that's one of the things that we're want to see, you know, what's the reaction from fans across the league? Is it really, do they view it as a positive? I mean, in some ways, Rich, I think, you know, it's, you know, and I've kind of shown my age and how long I've been in the business. The, you know, when I first started in athletics administration and certainly before that, you know, when I was playing, you know, there was no such thing as a secondary market. It was called scalping. And, you know, now it's accepted. You know, the people sell their tickets, you know, through the Ticketmaster or through StubHub. And so, you know, in some ways, this pricing will more directly reflect the secondary market values of tickets. So, you know, I mean, I think that's just kind of a recognition that, you know, the secondary market is something that does influence people.
What are some of the potential challenges or problems that come with variable pricing?
Well, I think Rich kind of pointed out is, well, okay, the prices are all different, but, you know, I'm still paying the same amount of money. Why are you doing this? For us specifically, you know, with two different packages, you know, a lot of it will depend. And, you know, traditionally, you know, the Milwaukee package is one preseason game and then the second and fifth game. And, you know, depending on the quality of those games, you know, so we may have to look at that as well. So those are some of the things we're studying. Do we always give them the second and fifth, or do we change things around? Quite honestly, it's kind of nice that it's the second and the fifth, because I can say, well, that's what we do, and it's just random, and over time it should balance out where, you know, you're going to get, you know, your fair share of good games. The other thing, quite honestly, and you've seen this, games in the off season that you think are really good games are going to be really good games, you know, end up maybe not being marquee games. So that's a little bit of an issue, I think, with some of the variable pricing is, you know, kind of accurately predicting, you know, what games are worth more in terms of face value.
Given winter driving, do you think you'd ever go later than the fifth for Milwaukee?
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, that's something we'd probably be reluctant to move to change overall. But, you know, I think that's going to be something we'll study overall, Bob. No.
How important for you, Mark, to be able to stand up there every year and talk about success on and off the field? Obviously, the Super Bowl is the goal, but, you know,
yeah,
the division championships, the playoff appearances, you know, record revenue. How important is it for you to be able to deliver that year after year?
Well, it's better than the alternative, so we appreciate it. You know, I think it's a tribute to, you know, the entire organization, including, you know, the support we get from the shareholders. You know, I think, you know, one of the main reasons that our revenue is, and I alluded to that in some of my comments, that, you know, you look, you know, we're 17th in terms of ticket price, but we're 9th in terms of overall revenue. So, you know, we make up for it a little bit because we have a larger stadium, but, you know, on things like our pro shop apparel sales, are the support of our fans and the shareholders are a big part of that. You know, that gives us additional revenue that, you know, other teams don't have in that area. You know, and you know, the support of our fans, you know, allows us, you know, for some of our sponsorships and corporate partnerships, we're able to generate more revenue because of the kind of support that we have. And so I think I'd say it's the shareholders, the board. Obviously, we have great employees. You know, I think from a financial standpoint, quite honestly, I think, you know, the league overall is very strong now. You know, I think the long-term collective bargaining agreement that we've talked about, I think the stability, you know, we got 7 more years of, you know, labor peace. So that's allowed us, we've seen, you know, at the league level, to enter into long-term agreements, you know, with the broadcast networks and other corporate sponsors that have really given the league overall and the Packers stability that, you know, probably we haven't had. And, you know, I don't know if there's been a time where the league has been more sound financially.
Mark, when Purley's and the Hall are done, is that going to be it for this building? Something, you know, about this now vacant lot to the south for football, something or other.
Yeah, no, the area to the south, you know, that will be strict. There won't be any economic or commercial development there. You know, it's one of those things. You know, I mentioned we're going to be in a position, I think, where we'll have money available to invest in the stadium, in the community, in the area, and so we're looking at a number of different things. You know, both in and around the stadium and more towards, you know, what I would say the title town. But, you know, there are things, you know, I think we can't just kind of sit and say, all right, we're done, that's it. I think, you know, things are going to evolve. You know, for premium seating, you know, for instance, you know, some of our suites, they haven't really been renovated or updated in a number of years. So I think probably some things we're going to have to look at there. I mean, that's not a major renovation. We're also going to look at the promenade, the area, from the Oneida steps out to Oneida. You know, the things we can do there, you know, we've got the temporary tent there that, you know, works for us, the Tundra tailgate zone. But, you know, I think there's some other things we can do that would be improvements to the stadium.
With the Titletown District, are you at some point going to release an overall blueprint for what that's going to be, or is this going to just kind of come out project by project?
Well, it's a good question. I know you would like a blueprint. No, I mean, I'm not trying to be glib. It's, you know, this is something that, you know, we've been working on for, you know, for a couple years at least. And, you know, we're studying it. We're looking at different options. I do think the Cabela's was a very good first step, you know, in terms of bringing more people into the community, into the area. And, you know, So you kind of look at the area between those two. I think there's, you know, potential for some things that I think could really be exciting and have a pretty significant long-term impact on the community. Yeah. But we're not at a point where at the right time we will. Yeah.
Mark, over here, do you wish that?
Sorry, Spoon. Yeah.
Do you wish that Ted would give a little bit more in-depth kind of analysis of the team to your shareholders who showed up?
Well, you got a standing ovation. I mean, no, I think Ted's report is great. You know, I mean, I think people, you know, he's not going to give out any state secrets or Packer secrets in the shareholder report. But I think our shareholders obviously appreciate Ted, and I think they've come to appreciate you know, that his brevity during the meetings is for a reason. Yeah. Yes, excuse me, Jesse.
Yeah. Any plans for the Kmart property?
Good question. The Kmart property, you probably have seen or know that that'll be closing soon. It had sales for a month or two there. It looks like it'll be shut down or completely closed by August 1st. You know, we're looking at, we're definitely going to have additional parking around that area. We're looking at the possibility of knocking the building down and using it for parking. Just a couple things we need to work through on that. But, you know, that's an area, I mean, you look at it, you know, we've owned that land for quite a bit of time, but that really opens up a very large area that, you know, we think could really be very exciting for us in terms of possibilities.
Mark, you know, Ted had that health thing this offseason where he didn't travel to the NFL meetings, and then his press conference before training camp, he didn't seem quite like himself. He started getting questions about how much longer he's going to do this. Was it important for him to be up there today and be funny, grading on his scale, and be received the way he was, and just for people to see that he's doing fine and he's back to his normal self, I suppose?
I think Ted has always been himself. You know, I mean, Ted is one of the most consistent, solid people that I've ever seen. And he is who he is, and very private, I think, as you guys know. But I would just say, I think for me, it was great to see him, and I thought, you know, it was... Ted is Ted now.
Mark.
But we're very, as I said, I think we all feel very fortunate to have him in his position. Yeah, Jesse.
I don't mean to belabor the Brett Favre topic, but
Brett. Nobody's brought it up yet, so thank you. I was.
But Brett himself spoke up this week and said that he was not concerned about Boeing coming back to limbo. I'm wondering, did you hear those comments? Has that changed the conversation or the timeline at all?
Yeah, I did read those comments. I guess I'd say, you know, kind of stepping back from it, you know, and you were all here, and, you know, that was a very emotional time for the Packers. And, you know, I think as time goes on, the emotions, you know, are passing and cooling down. You know, and I really hope, I think, you know, that, and I think our fan, we have the best fans, you know, I mean, you know, there's not anything close in terms of other fans across the league. And I think, Yeah, they're going to look back and they're going to see, you know, the entirety of what he did, not just the last few years, you know, when he played for the Vikings. And you know, I don't know if there's, you know, arguably the best or one of the best players in the history of the Packers. Probably had as big an impact on the organization as anybody in the history of the organization. And I'm very hopeful that when he does come back, that he will be fully supported by our fans. And, you know, I'm confident in that. You know, in terms of when he would come back, you know, we've had ongoing discussions with him, very good relations. We are talking about bringing him back for a game this year. We had discussions last year about bringing him back for a game. You know, those were not fruitful, but we're hopeful that we can get him back for a game this year.
Are you saying, though, not the jersey retirement, just bringing him back for a game this year?
Yes. Yeah, it would be a game. Yeah. No, well, that's, you know, our hope is, coming back from 16, you know, he'll be a first ballot inductee. So prior to that, we'd want to, you know, induct him into our hall and then also retire his number.
Mark, the other thing he did say when he was on the radio in Chicago is that Bob Harlan has taken on, he said, spearheading the effort. What is Bob's role then?
Yeah, well, Bob is on the executive committee of the Hall of Fame, Inc., and so, yeah, actually, Bob and I have worked together on it, particularly as it relates to his induction into the Hall of Fame, Packers Hall of Fame.
South of the stadium, how many houses have you purchased and now raised?
I am going to say, well, going back there, we can get these to the specifics, but we raised a few last year for the network lot and the E&G lot. And then I believe 12 were raised for most recently.
Do you mean overall, Bob, like entirety, or just that specific part that was referenced today?
I don't know, whatever is back there, Aaron, you know. And do you have plans to get more houses and do, you know, get a wider space back there?
I think we're comfortable where we are now, Bob. It's really, well, a couple things. I mean, the south end zone took up space, and so we needed some additional space there. And then the other thing that kind of drove this is the loading dock area had really become way too crowded, and we had trouble getting things in and out. So getting the broadcast trucks and the network trucks and the ENG, getting them out of the back of the stadium really freed up the area in the loading dock, you know, especially with a new pro shop and the restaurant coming on board. We really felt like we needed that space. And having the additional area to the south, you know, obviously it helps us in terms of parking. But we don't want to pave it, you know, so it'll be green. And, you know, I think from the neighbor's perspective, it looks better than a parking lot. But it does give us flexibility down the road for any future uses, potentially for stadium, either stadium or football related.
Like, you don't see a high rise parking structure there or anything?
No, I don't see it. No, we're actually with that. I think we added 400 parking spots. Yeah, so it's quite a bit. And I think those would be, you know, they're very close. And then, you know, being able to park on a grass, at certain early in the year, I think that would be very popular. No.
Mark, today is kind of an unofficial kickoff to band's training camp, at least.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said that. A number of us were up on the fourth floor kind of looking down at the atrium floor, and it kind of felt like, almost like a game day. So it's great to have the fans back. You know, I mean, we'll see on our numbers. I've sensed really, it kind of goes back to, you know, and this happens every year. Once school lets out, you can really kind of feel, you know, an uptick in the number of people coming to Lambeau. But this year, I think it's been more than usual. You know, whether that's related to, you know, interest and, in, you know, what some of the construction projects will look like. You know, what's the new pro shop going to look like, or the Harlem Plaza. But I also I have the sense there's you know, the expectations are pretty they're always high, but I think this year I think fans have a good feeling about the season and are excited for the year to start.
Mark, do you have any way of telling how many people are going to show up for training camp year to year? I mean, is it just crapshoot? You just don't know.
Well, that's a good. I mean, shareholder meetings are crapshoot. So and training camp is even more difficult. Yeah, you know, obviously this first weekend is, you know, typically the biggest, although, you know, I think that whole first week and then kind of leading into the family night, you always know that you get a lot of people coming, you know, maybe coming at the end of the week to watch some of the practices and then stay for family night. We anticipate that we'll have good crowds, you know. And we talked about this. I mean, quite honestly, there's just fewer practices. So, you know, there may be some fans that look at it and say, you know, there's not as many practices that I can watch. But, you know, there's one a day, whereas it used to have two a days. So, you know, then I think it's kind of incumbent on us to have, you know, activities and things for fans to do, you know, especially so. Looks like I think most of our practices this year will be at 8:20. So, you know, have, you know, things available for them, and especially for kids in the afternoon. And I think you've probably seen some of our releases. We've got all kinds of things going on throughout the day. And, you know, obviously with the new pro shop and the restaurant open now, I think, you know, trying to give people a lot of different things to do while they're here. Not to mention, they can also go downtown. I mentioned the go to the Heritage Trail, get a little exercise, walk through downtown Green Bay, and learn about the history and tradition of the Packers from Lambeau to Lombardi.
Mark, you referenced Cuban's comments about overexposure.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could expand on your thoughts on that. How much of a balancing act is it for the league and maybe even for the Packers, too?
Yeah. I mean, in that regard, I think it's mostly the league because the league, you know, sets, you know, kind of the TV policy and, you know, how many games are on national TV. And, you know, I think you just, I mean, obviously, you know, the league's very popular. I mentioned some of the statistics in terms of, you know, the ratings. But I think we do have to be careful that you don't oversaturate the market, don't overexpose your product. And particularly, I think, on in prime time. You know, you look at it, I mean, I'm old enough. I remember when, you know, Monday night was really special. You know, that was the only game that was in prime time, and people really, really looked forward to it. And, you know, now we've got Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. But the ratings continue to be strong, but I think you do have to have little bit of a, you know, just I think kind of step back and say, make sure we're doing the right thing.
Anything further? What was your arrangement with business owners on POTS from Oneida down to Ashland to help defray their cost with the street name change?
Yeah, that's something that we worked with Mike Obinger on, and you know, he's going to work with the business owners on any expenses that they may have related to that. So it'll be through Mike Obinger, yeah.
So you're going to pick up some of that?
We told them that we would, yeah.
Mark, can they give you an idea of when that name change will actually?
Yeah, that's really Mike. You know, he wants to do it within the year. Hopefully, less than that. But, you know, to see, you know, Coach McCarthy, well, actually he is. He's pretty emotional, but he was really moved by it. And, you know, I think sometimes you just kind of, you know, you go on in your life and take things for granted. And I think that was really a moment for him that, you know, that it was really meaningful.
Thank you.
And, you know, so, I mean, obviously it's great. It's a wonderful tribute to him. It's also good for the Packers. I think, you know, to me, it kind of highlights the unique connection or the relationship between the team, the Packers, and the community. I mean, you walk around, drive around here. There's a lot of Packer names, coaches, and players throughout the community. You just don't see that other places.
Mark, you made mention of possibility of playing in London.
Yeah.
I assume those games are scheduled years ahead of time, or do they come to you years ahead of time?
Well, I mean, not really. You know, I mean, the schedule. Well, you guys know. I mean, we know next year we're going to be playing, you know, at AFC West or, you know, whatever. And you know whether it's home or away. But the league, you know, typically likes to wait until the actual schedule comes out and where games fall within the schedule. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, we would never give up a home game. It's too important for the community. But I would be excited about having a chance to play in London. You saw this, or you heard the statistics about global reach of the Packers. I think our fans here would love to travel to London, and I think it'd be a great experience. We'll see. I mean, there's only certain teams that play home games in London, so those kind of have to match up. The other issue, quite honestly. And I think we've talked about this before, is that we travel so well that teams are reluctant to give up a home game against the Packers to play in London because it's typically a guaranteed sellout. That was the situation with St. Louis a few years ago, that they were scheduled to play in London, but they didn't want to move the Packer game to London because they knew fans would travel so well. Our fans would travel so well to St. Louis.
You think you can control not having to give up a home game to London?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Bob, there are a number of teams who feel it benefits them to give up a home game. They have trouble selling out, fewer home games, makes the season ticket less expensive. No. So, and, yeah, well, like I said, you know, I think last year was the first year they had two games in London, both sold out. This year there's three. I believe they've all sold out already. They're all in, all going to be played in Wembley. The league is also looking at possibility of playing in other venues in London or around in England, in the area.
So, Mark, that St. Louis instance, even though it wasn't necessarily close, that's the closest you've come to this point of potentially playing there?
I mean, I don't know how close it was, but, at least since I've been here, that was about kind of ties in about when the London game started, but yeah, you know, it's something, and I think the league would like the Packers to play in London. I think we're a very unique organization that I think across the pond they might find interesting to learn a little bit about the Packers.
Mark,